Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapters 1, verses 35 through 46. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher. "Where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated to anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Please be seated. Well, we're completing this series we've been through together, What We Do. We started with who we are. We did a series on who we are as people of God, what it means to be this set apart people for God's purposes. And from that being comes our doing, who we are, and then what we do as a result of who we are. And so we've talked about what we do is we, as a church, as participants in God's work on earth, God's work in this community, we pray, we gather, we give, we serve, and we witness is what we're talking about today. And this sermon today is something of a bridge from these previous series and something new that we're going to be doing next Sunday. And it works together because, and you'll see as we go through the sermon what I'm talking about, but what we're going to be looking at is the story. God has revealed himself, and there are many ways God could have revealed himself, and there are many ways in which God has revealed himself. But the primary tool that we have, the primary means that we have for knowing God is the Bible, is the Holy Scriptures. And what the Bible is a bunch of stories telling a larger story. Some of those stories, many of those stories, are about people getting it wrong. People not understanding who God really is, or understanding and not acting, not being obedient to God, not faithfully following, not faithfully living this story. And then there are many stories, many examples of God revealing himself to people and people responding faithfully, faithfully living the story of God. But you may have noticed when you came in, and if you didn't, then when you leave, you can turn around and look. The new banner hanging over the doors to the sanctuary say, "Live the story." Live the story. And that's what we are about. And so beginning next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching the lectionary gospel readings, and that may not be particularly meaningful to a lot of folks, but we're still going to have sermon series. We're still going to move through the Christian year together, and the series will be designed around what season we're in the Christian year, or where we are as a church, that sort of thing. But they will be based on largely the gospel readings from the lectionary. The lectionary is just a tool of organizing the scriptures so that we go through most of the Bible every 3 years or so. And so I'll be focusing on the gospel reading. So if you want to, there are online resources and apps and, of course, actual books that you can get or whatever that have the lectionary readings. But my point is this. We are called as witnesses not just to hear this story, but to inhabit this story, to live this story. For thousands of years, this story has been in the process of being told. You have a unique part to play in this story. And there are people among whom you will tell this story that will never come under this roof, will never, with the exception of you and your life, they will never have any real connection to Western Hills United Methodist Church. And that's part of the story that you are to be living. And then also, we together live this story, or are called to live this story faithfully as Western Hills United Methodist Church and as part of the body of Christ around the world. So individually, in your own unique sort of way, and then coming together, bringing your individual story into the larger story that this church is telling, we are to live the story. But we cannot live the story, brothers and sisters, if we do not know the story. So we are going to, I'm going to be telling the story, relaying the story to you, so that we can better inhabit the story, live the story, so that we can be better witnesses to God's life and activity in the world, among all people. God is alive and active among every person in the world, calling them into relationship with Him, calling them into the story. Here's where it begins. So again, this is why this sermon is sort of a bridge into this new thing. In storytelling, in myths, folk tales, classic stories, the beginning of most stories in one way or another is what's called departure. It's the opening stage of a story is departure. In what's often called the hero's journey, and we can consider your life a heroic journey. You may not feel like a hero, but you are called to be the hero of your story. In the power of God, with God, you are called to be a hero in your story in great or small ways. And so in the hero's journey, there is departure. There is a call to adventure, a call to leave behind life as you know it and enter into the story. Does that make sense? Let me give you a couple of examples. Classic Dorothy Gale in The Wizard of Oz, right? She wants adventure. She wants to go somewhere over the rainbow. That's what that's all about. She wants to leave her dusty little Kansas town and find a new adventure, something new in her life. And circumstances kind of beyond her control, one way or another, she ends up thrust into this adventure. She has to leave behind, Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore, right? She has to leave behind life as she knows it. That's what that famous line is all about. Something new, and enter into something new. And she comes to find, spoiler alert, that home was inside her. That home may be not such a bad place after all, but she goes through an internal transformation, right? Or how about Luke Skywalker? Interestingly, a very similar character, similar stories that we find there. Luke, same, in a dusty, he's a farm boy who longs for adventure. He's heard tales of this rebellion. He wants to be part of this. He wants to have adventure, but he is stuck in his little area doing the same old thing day after day after day. And then there is a call to adventure. Circumstances happen so that he can become part of this greater story. He can be part of this adventure. But in order to do so, he must depart. He must leave behind life as he knows it and enter into something else, something greater, something unknown. And one more just for fun, but also an important lesson, and that is this time of year we're going to be seeing George Bailey, right? It's a Wonderful Life, struggling with something more. He also wants to have this big life, get away from this small town and experience something great. And he has sort of the reverse experience. He desperately wants to get away from his small town life that he has always known, but he comes to find that it is not about geography. He becomes... lives this adventure, lives this story within himself. And so it's not about geography. It's not always about leaving behind physically life as you know it, although for some folks that is the case. But something must change in our minds, in our hearts, in our attitudes, our ways of being, our actions, our ways of thinking, leaving behind life as we know it, to step out and begin to live the story. Andrew and his companion, what Jesus says to them is the same thing that Philip says to his buddy Nathanael in today's scripture, today's story. And that is, come and see. Right? Jesus says to Andrew and his buddy, he said, where are you staying? He says, come and see. Then Philip goes to Nathanael. We found the Messiah. From Jesus. From Nazareth. Nathanael, can anything good come from Nazareth? Philip, come and see. Those words are in our story, this greater story that we're telling, those are like magic words. That is the call to adventure that happens in this stage of departure, leaving behind life as we know it. In fact, that's the twofold process of becoming a disciple of Jesus, of living the story. Come, which is leave behind life as you know it, which may be physical, but is certainly emotional, mental, spiritual. All the answers you think you have, all that you are clinging to in this world, leave behind life as you know it. Come. And then learn the living revelation of Jesus Christ. Come to know God as he is revealing himself in Jesus. See. Learn to see. Come and see. And it all begins with Jesus' magic words that are the first words in John's Gospel. Jesus' first words in John's Gospel. What are you looking for? That's the first thing Jesus says in John's Gospel. And these Gospel writers don't waste words. So that is loaded. Jesus' first words. Here's Jesus, and he says, what are you looking for? Or to put it more curtly in the NIV, he says, what do you want? What do you want? And everybody in this room, and everybody you know, and everybody in the world is seeking to answer that for themselves, or is seeking an answer to that question. What are you looking for? What is it you want? Some of us answer that in very definite ways. We have plotted out our lives, and maybe by the luck of the draw or grace or whatever it is, you have not had to deviate. You've not had lots of ups and downs. You've just gone step by step, marching after what it was that you were looking for, what it was you wanted, and you found it every step of the way. The other 99.9999 whatever percent of us have answered that question, maybe unintentionally, by circumstances in our lives. I need to make a living, so I guess this is what I'm looking for. I like this guy or this girl or whatever, so that's now what I'm looking for. I got kids now, so that's what I'm looking for. You know, one thing after the other. Circumstances dictate, okay, now I'm looking for this, or now I want this out of life. Maybe there's some other things we never really left behind, and that is a pain or a burden to us, or it's still a goal for us, it's still a hope, whatever. But everybody in the world, and those of us in the U.S. in the 21st century, maybe majority of us, have more options in answering that question than a lot of people, even in our own community, and certainly lots of places around the world. People don't have as many choices in answering that question. What are you looking for? But there is something deep, something fundamental. What are you looking for? And our answer, as people of faith, should be such that others are prompted to answer that in the way that we've answered that. And what I mean is, hopefully you have gotten to the point where you have answered that question, you've heard the Lord, you've recognized this is coming from God, this is like a major existential sort of thing. What are you looking for? Maybe you've had successes of one kind or another. Maybe you've had tragedies or failures of one kind or another. Whatever the case, maybe, hopefully, if you're here today, you've gotten to the point where you have realized this is Jesus still asking me this question, just as he asked those first guys. What are you looking for? And you have had the wisdom and the grace to answer, Jesus, I think it's you. I think you are and have everything I'm looking for. And then maybe a struggle ensues with one thing or another, where little by little Jesus says, well, then why this? If I'm what you're looking for, then why is this in your life? Why are you clinging to that? Why is it half the time or more you seem to be looking only for? You know that struggle probably if you have come to that position. But notice how every person, even in this little story, and then on through the Gospels, on into Acts, and on throughout history for 2,000 years, but especially we'll just focus on this little slice, these scriptures for today. Every person who encounters Jesus doesn't keep him to themselves. They don't say, well, I was just raised, and you don't talk about that in polite society. They don't say that. John the Baptizer is the leader of this big renewal movement. We don't know how many people were part of it. Scores? Hundreds? Thousands? We don't know how many followers he had, how many devoted, committed disciples he had. But we know that when Jesus comes on the scene, John the Baptizer says, he's the one you're looking for. And I'm sure plenty said, no, we're major fans of yours. We've been following you. You've got the answers we're looking for. And John faithfully says, I must decrease, he must increase. He's the one you're looking for. He's the only reason I'm doing what I'm doing. And so we see that today with Andrew and his buddy, two disciples of John's. John says, that's the Lamb of God. That's the one you're looking for. And wisely, they go after him. But first, Andrew goes and gets his brother, Simon. Brings him to the Lord. Jesus gives him the nickname. Peter, Rock, Rocky, my man Rocky. And then Jesus goes and finds Philip. We don't quite know why. Philip is from, we're told, is from Bethsaida, the same hometown as Peter and Andrew. So I'm thinking maybe they said, you know, this guy Philip is our buddy. He's really cool. He's over in Galilee. You need to go check him out or something. But Jesus goes and introduces himself to Philip. Philip says, goes and gets his buddy Nathanael. We found the Lord. We found the Messiah. And all of these guys don't say, oh, we just shouldn't talk about those things. Just live and let live. You figure out your own path. They share. They tell others. There's something to this guy. Come and see. And that's the deal. Before we can be witnesses to Jesus, we must first witness Jesus for ourselves. Right? A witness, just by its very definition, it's in the word, is someone who has seen something. You're only any good as a witness in a court of law or whatever is if you have actually encountered this firsthand. If you have actually seen something, you are a witness to that. Yes, I saw that. Here's what I saw. And so you must first answer that question, what are you looking for, with some form of you, Jesus. I don't know what it means, but I want to step into the story you're telling before you can ever hope to witness to somebody else. You have to see him. Have you seen Jesus lately? And I don't mean this man with flesh and bone, with wounds, and if that actually happens, please come and talk to me, because that sounds awesome. But no, in the power of the Holy Spirit, usually the way we encounter Jesus is in his work among other people, and in our own hearts, in our own lives, and in the world around us. We have chosen to come, and so we have begun to see. And as we begin to see, others begin to see him in us. I don't know what it is about that person, about you, but I like the way you are answering the question, what are you looking for? And you can say, come and see. And here's the thing. And this is what Sarah was getting at with the need Christ in Christians. It is not enough merely to recognize that God is revealing himself in Jesus. We must recognize what God is revealing of himself in Jesus. Does that make sense? Let me explain a little more. It is not enough to have made a decision for Christ, maybe in your childhood or maybe today or at some point, to have prayed a prayer, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I want you to be my Savior, be my Lord of my life. Those things are wonderful. If you've done that, good. If you haven't, please talk to me after the service. But that's not enough. That's the beginning. That's the call to adventure. That is getting the invitation that says RSVP, and you just go, woohoo! I got this invitation to a great party. Well, and how was the party? I don't know. I didn't go. I thought the point was the invitation. You've got to follow. And that's what it comes down to. The world doesn't need to see mere believers in Jesus, although belief is important. But the world needs to see followers of Jesus. What that family member whose soul you're kind of worried about, or whose life is going in directions that you're concerned about. What that friend maybe in the same situation, co-workers, what your fellow El Pasoans, what your fellow Americans, what your fellow earthlings desperately need to see is a follower of Jesus. Someone, what they need to see is someone who has seen Jesus. Someone who regularly sees Jesus. Here's what I'm getting at. Someone for whom Jesus is actually making a difference. Is Jesus making a difference in your life? Honestly. If you're a nicer person because of Jesus, that's good. A step in the right direction, but there's more, lots more. And what this world needs to see, and I encourage you to look at the banner over here that says Live the Story, and then also when you leave, there's a sign over the door that says Exit to a World in Need, or something like that, right? Yes, What that world needs to see is someone for whom Christ has made a difference, someone whose life is maybe daily different. They need to see people like Andrew, who leaves behind the path as he knows it to follow Jesus, who goes and gets his brother and his brother, Peter, who leaves behind his career to follow Jesus. People like Nathanael, who seems to have something against Nazarenes or small town hick people. Like Jesus, by the way. If you're one of those or you have prejudice against those, understand. We're talking about Jesus. Backwater, small town boy. And I know none of us have any kind of prejudices and no Christians have any kind of prejudices. Sarcasm. But Nathanael, who leaves behind his prejudices in order to go and find out Jesus, to get to know Jesus for himself. That's the kind of people the world needs. Those are the kinds of people that will change the world. Those are the kinds of people through whom God's kingdom is coming in the world. Because God's kingdom doesn't come just by you being a nice person. God's kingdom is coming by and large through Jesus followers, not just Jesus believers who sit in the comfort of their belief and know when I die, I'm squared away. That's good. But it's time to live the story. It's time to be a witness if you have actually seen anything. If you have actually witnessed anything in your life, Jesus making a difference. If you've witnessed anything in the world, then your life should show it. Things should be different for you. If they are not, and I don't mean, understand, I don't mean you should have one of those testimonies where you were at rock bottom and in the gutter and a light came out of heaven and everything. It's that, if that's your testimony, then more power to you. Please share that with people because there's others out there who need to hear it. But if you are like me and I was baptized as a baby in the Methodist church and I went through confirmation and blah, 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 and just stayed kind of on this path with a few deviations here and there, but that's fine too. It doesn't matter. Jesus daily makes a difference in my life. I see Jesus constantly at work in the world. I know you've got that story too. If you sit and think about it for a moment, reflect on it, you'll see. And as you begin to see, others will see. And through your life, because Jesus, in case you hadn't noticed, the plan wasn't right now for him to continue to walk around in flesh and bone with his wounds and everything going from person to person to person. His plan instead, and he said this stuff about a grain of wheat going in the ground, and so then it comes up and the stalk is full of grains of wheat and it just becomes more and more. So his plan seems to have been to fill all of us, billions of people, with him, with the Holy Spirit, so that each of us, through each of us, including you, do not think you are an exception. Through each of us, in one way or another, Jesus can ask, what are you looking for? And the world, in many different ways, is answering, I'm looking for life. I'm looking for love. I'm looking for truth. And in the witness of your actions and sometimes your words, you can answer, come and see. Let's pray. Loving Lord, wherever we are in the course of this story, each of us individually, you see us in the peace and the quiet of this place and this moment. Help us to hear you asking us, what are you looking for? Give us the courage and the faith to answer with our whole lives, you, Jesus, are all that I am looking for. And may we become so consumed with the story you are telling in and through us that others will see as well. And that they will come and will begin to see you as the answer to all they are looking for. Until all the world is covered with your glory, your kingdom. May it begin with each of us in our own unique ways. Give us wisdom, give us vision, give us power, give us faith and courage in our own unique ways as we go to our individual lives from this place, but then also as we come together as your church, continue to give us vision and wisdom, raise up the people to be inhabitants of your story, to live this story for your glory alone. In your name, amen.